Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today, well, we have a special show because we're gonna air this a little bit early. And the reason we're going to air it early is because my awesome guest today is Marla Freese. Now, Marla, people know Marla from all sorts of things, but she has just written a book that is coming out tomorrow. So we are going to make sure that this gets released either today or tomorrow. Well, I'm excited to have you, Marla. I've met you already through Tom Campbell, and I interview Tom a lot. You wrote a book called American Psychic, A Spiritual Journey from the Heartland to Hollywood, Heaven and Beyond. It is a really beautiful book. You write that, you know, the greatest gift of your life has been the ongoing walk, largest consciousness system, spirit, God, Jesus, the voice, universe, force, and thems. And thems you have, I like that because it's the heavenly eternal message system. They are my life. Thank you for not giving up on me. May my life be filled with continuation of the love that you are.
Oh my God, now I'm in tears. Just, I'm hearing someone else read those words. And man, that's powerful. Thank you for reading that.
Well, I loved it. You know, I cried, I laughed, I was empowered with you during this journey. I mean, You really opened up to the story of Marla Freese and how your wounds show us as opportunities to grow. I mean, this is a really heartfelt journey to healing and growth. You know, thank you so much for all that you've offered. I mean, it's a beautiful, it's filled with suspense. You have had one suspenseful life, my girl. I'm like, whoa, it's been a kind of, it was amazing because, I mean, now I know Marla.
Yes.
In a way that your TV appearances or your stage, I mean, you've done a lot in your life. Wow, you really picked some great challenges.
You know, isn't it an interesting template? I was thinking about that. I got up this morning and I was actually making some ravioli. I thought I really want ravioli this morning. And I was cooking it and I was thinking, Lori is going to wonder about the template that I chose. And I think that it's very interesting. And I'm sure many of your listeners think and talk about whether we pick our parents, you know, how this all happens. And it is it's a fascinating conversation.
It truly is. You have touched on almost every topic that I would ever write in a book, but you've done it in a way that's very personal and how you came to these, you know, conclusions. I mean, you embody the true essence of science and spirituality because you wanted to experience it so that you could define it and to be very, very clear about, you know, who you are and how you've sort of come here and why you've come here. I mean, it's a really great book.
Oh, thank you. And you know, it is because of being sort of smacked with experiences that I wasn't necessarily looking for or wanted or even believed in, that I had to make sense out of this. And I'm glad that you mentioned the science part. You know, so many people are stuck in the materialistic or in materialism regarding the science of this, but they have a hard time explaining or proving love. And that's the thing that really drives us. Yeah. So this non-physical matter reality that we talk about with Tom, we are accessing this all the time. We're living in a part of that. And I had to make sense of it.
I can understand that. I mean, me, I'm not a science person. And from what I read, you weren't really a science person, at least during your school years, but
no, I wasn't. If I told you the grade that I got in chemistry, you know, let's just say I was fascinated by science, but my mind didn't wrap around it nor math the way that most people's do. You know, I think that that's interesting too, how our brain frequencies are all so unique and so different.
From what I've read your book, you're very much an empath, which means we learn by understanding and touching and feeling things. And math and science just was never taught that way.
No, the whole empathic issue is something that I've really had to take a look at, because I didn't know how empathic I was until this year, when I was physically manifesting more things in my body because I was supporting other friends of mine. And I have to be very careful, you know, this is all about boundaries, and we have to find them.
That's probably the biggest gift we can learn as an empath. Biggest gift that you sort of took away from all this is it was about separation and how we feel that separation. And I honestly think everybody has some sort of that in this life. I don't know if it's because of the time we're in or if it's just something that is the universal consciousness is sort of processing at this time. But it's certainly a big one.
Well, let's talk about that, because you wonder about the separation. Give me an example of how that's happened for you.
We don't have completely similar. You had much more physical abuse. I was adopted, and then I was put into a foster home for 5.5 months. They wanted to adopt me, but they couldn't due to certain rules and legislation. So I went to another home. So in 5.5 months, I'd kind of gone from three different places. I was born a little bit premature, and I was put in an incubator for a few days. And then at the age of 13, the father that I thought was my biological father passed away. So abandonment has been my journey. And even there's been some betrayal in there. So feeling that betrayal, that was definitely the story that I have lived in this life.
Yeah. You know, it's very curious, Lori, because I often talk with clients about what happened in utero to them. Mm-hmm. I had a strange incident with a client a few years ago. She was pregnant. I think she was in her second trimester, and she started having visions about buses and being very frightened about buses. And I said, you know, why don't you talk to your mother about what happened to her when she was pregnant? And actually, her mother was almost hit by a bus. So that, how that memory, how that association got, you know, connected in the neurons to my client, and what you and I have gone through by virtue of separation from source, separation from family dynamics because of problems. And we are wounded healers in that way.
It is a big thing. I think, you know, whether we call it abandonment or separation, I mean, you know, we even feel God abandoned us, or we were separate from God. I mean,
that's right.
The deepest part of our wound will have something to do with that.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I didn't say this in the book, but there was a moment I was in the bathroom, and I must have been, probably 4 or 5 years old. I had enough cognition that I remember the words, and I was very, very, very angry at God. I think they were trying to drag me to church, and I was so pissed off about what I was experiencing at home. I mean, you know, I had really wonderful experiences, and of course there were some very traumatic ones, and I was angry. And at a young age like that, knowing that there was something so possibly wrong about what was happening. And I never forgot that. And I think that, you know, in the book, there is an awakening at the age of 14 where God comes in and saves my life, or the voice, or the consciousness, or whatever you wanted to call it. But that's when I started listening.
You had some very powerful experiences, from physical and emotional abuse, for sure. You've had a stalker, you've been raped, and in a date rape situation that you met up with a creepy Hollywood that you called Homer, which I find fascinating. You've had some very traumatic experiences, from even the young age where a friend or an acquaintance, more, that you felt that need to protect, who was raped and then murdered. I mean, well, I can understand why you went into more of the law aspect of being a psychic, because that can help in certain situations. And I don't have any of those experiences to even kind of identify with them. So,
well, you know, the murder that you speak of, when I was in seventh grade, this classmate of mine, it was because of that murder and hearing people talk, including my mother, about things that were done to this girl that shouldn't have been done. I started to think about what was happening to me. And that's when I started to build boundaries around myself and my mother. And it's an odd thing to have a murder like that really set a tone and change the way I thought about my own life. You know, I prevented my mother from that point on from having access to me physically.
Very empowering and powerful. It's like that was, you know, one of the moments that I cheered.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, but you did laugh a couple of those moments, did you?
I did.
Aren't there a few places where you busted out laughing? I hope.
I mean, you've had some beautiful experiences mingled in with some horrific ones that I can't even imagine, but it's all of what makes us who we are, right?
Well, yes, exactly. And today, on this day, the day before I launched the book, I am so grateful. Last night, I had an event, a restaurant here in Los Angeles, where it was a book launch plus celebration, plus I read The Room for 2 hours. And it was people that had been in the book, who contributed to the book, who loved me and helped lift me up. And it was such an incredible celebration. And I honor and respect and admire every single aspect of what and who came into my life to put me in this position right now, today, talking to you about the greatest thing that ever happened to my life. And, you know, it's my intention that the book will inspire others to tell their stories.
Your life led you on this journey to connect with who you are and how we love ourselves without that shame and guilt. I mean, it's all that powerful aspect of talking about truly honoring and loving, you know, the inner being that we are and letting that shine through. And all of these experiences have allowed you to get to that place so that you can shine off that beautiful aspect of you, that higher self that you sort of finally connected with the Monroe Institute. That love is all that matters.
Yeah. And another reason for, you know, the book over the summer as a reading tool on people's vacation, it takes you on a ride, but it makes you think about your own life, doesn't it, Lori?
Absolutely. That's the part of it that makes it so brilliant. It's we don't necessarily to have the same experiences to get where we need to go. But it's the questions, it's the way you approach things, understand how each certain piece brought you this place so we could also kind of go with you as you're going through it. It helps the reader pick those pinnacle moments in our lives that sort of also assisted us with that change. So, you know, even if you write for yourself, it's a powerful thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, these stories had been brewing inside of me for a long time. And it was actually when the divorce happened that I had to take a moment and go, oh my God, what just happened to me? And of course, you know, we're not going to tell too many of these stories, but having that college boyfriend come back into my life that reignited so much of the wound from the family dynamic of alcoholism, oh my God, it made me sit down and face my past. And that's how this all was birthed. It was basically, I wanted to tell some of these stories, but it was in looking at how the history had impacted me at that time in my life. And I went, wow, I have to talk about this.
You talk about the fact that, you know, your prayers are being answered, which is not necessarily the way you wanted them or the way you sort of saw them.
Well, I think that's most people. Yeah. You know, most people are praying, going, oh my God, get me out of this situation. Can't you just help me? Can't you just give my husband a job? Can't you just give us some more money? Blah, 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 blah. When in fact, they're not supposed to go the way you want them to go. And that's basically an answer to your prayer that is even better for you than what you had asked for.
We can't control this life. We don't get to be in control. That's what larger consciousness system, the thems, that's what they're all about. It's not us that get to do that, but we are in charge of how we respond. And you mentioned that is, you know, a very important part, especially when you talk about death, how you respond to the death around you, your response to things that will really, how you respond to life.
Yes. And death doesn't necessarily mean the corporeal body dying. It's not just that. It's the death of a fantasy, of a
relationship or the death of a business, the loss of your home, financial, all of the things that are considered losses are part of death. And it really is, what do we do in the face of this loss? And everybody is dealing with it. And of course, we have a society right now that is medicating itself so often and so much through all of this, when in fact, processing part of this pain is necessary. I really don't think, Lori, that I would have written this had I not had the smackdown of having to really look at my history and to pull it all apart. It wasn't about indulging the wound. It was about sharing the wound and expressing it after learning that the dead also have to bear witness to their behavior. And that was a concept, you know, not having even believed in talking to the dead, that was so unique to me. In speaking with deceased loved ones, they often want to come in and apologize for their behavior.
I think that's a big piece of certainly the work that you do and under helping people understand the whole process of death. There is still a connection, and whether how you believe in that, I think everybody will have their own way of connecting with it. Because you hold space for your loved ones, then it can be done through you, through them, to assist.
Yeah, it really is. The dynamic of death and what happens in families, it's almost as though this larger consciousness system is so benevolent that it regurgitates, so to speak, memory and data for us to help us. And, you know, as Tom says, oftentimes it's about accessing that information. And as I've had conversations with him, and you and I did this in a teleseminar with him regarding the enormity of what comes in on that consciousness line, which is, to me, physically, I feel things, mentally, emotionally, I see movies, and it is though it is so vibrant to help us in our own growth and healing.
Yeah. And we all have gifts. The more you learn how to hone in on the gift that you have and understand the gift that you have, the more opportunities you get to connect with others and then connect so that you can do your own growth. But everybody has some form of gifts.
Yes.
Shall we call
it? Oh, yes. And anytime I work with people, it's one of the things that I do my best to empower. And we were talking about this in this group of 80 people that I was working with last night. And we got into a conversation about our fears around communication. One woman was talking about being in a snore study, and they recorded her snoring. And in the middle of the snoring, she heard a man basically say, "Now let me show you what to do here." a man's voice came in when she was having her own snoring experiment. And she was freaked out. And, you know, we were all sharing stories about how information gets transmitted to us. Sometimes it's electronically, sometimes it's in funny ways like that. But this is just an opportunity, once again, for us to see consciousness and for us to grow from it.
It's a fun journey. I think that's the way you have to take it.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the fact that we are all gifted with these abilities, because many of the people that I talk with across the country, we have had, or we've been raised in certain ideologies, and to drop that fear, to access the, as I call it, the birthright of intuition, is really important. You know, the Bible's filled with prophecy and vision, and we sometimes forget about that when certain sects of our religious culture tries to own it.
Own it and take it away from us.
own it and punish us. And, yes. Yeah, all those things, you know, and make themselves special because they think that they're the only ones that can access this.
You can tell where the fear comes from that's so permeated mm-hmm. in our culture, that it's all about religion.
Well, it's important for all of us to understand that we are all incredibly special in this experiment, in this experience. And when, I mean, the person that we meet down the street who has the ability to play drums like we've never heard before, or the person that we run into in a nail salon who speaks French in such a way that we've always wanted to learn it. I mean, anything that is available to us is here. And learning to go beyond what we can see, which is a lot of the stuff that, of course, Tom has done for years, and I'm sure that you have in your own altered states of consciousness, but the work that I've done at Monroe, I mean, that's one of the safest places to allow your brain to access altered states of consciousness without the use of drugs.
And you had some pretty powerful experiences to the point where I went, oh, yeah, maybe it is something I want to do.
Maybe it's time that you go. Yes.
Although I have been invited to a castle in England for one of Tom's
right. Well, I want to hear all about that. Yes, I can't wait to hear all about that. Yeah. That'll be amazing.
So now some of the things that I think were interesting, I mean, you talk a lot, and because it was your father, but, you know, the price of war. I mean, it was, I think that's probably what happened with my father as well, because he was such a gentle soul to have been, you know, so young for, it was a short period of time, but he was really young. And I mean, it was an awful thing. I mean,
Which war was he in?
He was in the second.
Yeah.
The same as your dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I mean, all wars, I think, are pretty horrendous in the sense mm-hmm. that, you know, we're taking someone's life. I don't think people realize it, but it's a powerful experience to have to go through, because it goes so against, you know, who we are, the whole...
Truly, doesn't it? It's the exact opposite of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, my father was 26 or 25 when he went in and became a captain in the Rainbow Division, helping blow up Hitler's Siegfried Line, mm-hmm. and as an engineer. And he and his driver and another passenger hit a landmine. And they were blown up, and one guy lost both legs and was basically crawling back to camp to tell them about my father, who had been thrown 30 feet and busted up, and the other man died. And my father came back to the States in a body cast and was in a body cast for a year. And that was, I think it was 13 years before I was born. But that imprint in his DNA, that experience, well, of course it altered him in ways that we can't even imagine. But that's what our veterans did. They came back and they medicated.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the codependent template that it created with our making our mothers looking for comfort outside of their own reality. And that was also medication, or that made them very angry. You know, I'm sure that my mother had some mental illness, but it didn't help that she was married to a man who she thought was going to be an officer, and it ruined her dream. And, you know, my father getting blown up ruined her dream about being an officer's wife. So, and it was the neighborhood, and I'm still in touch with many of the people that I grew up within my neighborhood in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And we as children all suffered from the atrocities that came out of these wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And still suffering.
And still. Well, you know, in the other wars, you know, all the Gulf, the Korean, the Gulf, and, you know, Vietnam, it's absolutely. And I think it's so crucial to pay attention to this. And I was talking with educators this morning. I mean, there are educators that are taking recess out of the curriculum, when in fact, how do you move trauma except through expression or movement? You've got to move trauma out of your body, or it sticks and it makes you sick, or it makes you mentally unsound, I'd like to say, mm-hmm. in some situations.
And so how do you get that out? I mean, that's...
Well, in your experience, you tell me what some of the ways that you have helped facilitate or facilitate for yourself moving trauma out of the body.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's sometimes I'm very emotional. Sometimes I'm very detached or very unattached, maybe. And it really varies. But when it's the real, you know, the big ones, it's like you have to feel into them. For me, I have to feel into them, feel the grief, the sadness, the loss, even the celebrations. I need to sort of go inside and feel that place and sort of sit myself there, so that the edge that can take over becomes much more conscious, instead of so for me it's a going inward and, you know, really connecting with how that makes me feel, and exploring each feeling so that I understand, you know, how I took on this as being abandonment, betrayal, separation. So it's, you know, how did I kind of come to that place? So it's really about really, you know, diving in and sort of holding on to that feeling and trying to identify, you know, where it started, letting the energy of it go.
Well, you are in probably the 0.001.5.
Hey, I've been doing this a long time too.
Yeah, group of people who will consciously go in. Most people are running for their lives. They're doing everything they can to get away from the pain.
Hence addictions.
Hence addictions, but also hence you having this radio program and working with people. So your gift, giving room for people to go into their heart and heal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. As you say, you know, what we resist persists.
Yeah.
With that, the understanding that you began to surrender to what needed to be transformed. I mean, you know, you're an advocate to those who most people don't even believe, you know, exist, but they still need to get their piece of what happened.
Yes.
So they need a voice. They need to understand, so that they, most of those that are living, that sort of hold on to whether these people get to sort of move on themselves. I think if you're really stuck, feeling a certain thing happened that you didn't, makes it more confusing when I just, but I mean, if somebody.
No, I know where you're going with this. And I think it's very interesting too, because there is, when it's my experience, you know, I'd like to think of it like when we die, we drop the body, of course, but and in dropping the body, that actually gives us the opportunity to stop a lot of the pathology because of dropping the body. But there's still the memory of some of it. And I've talked to people who have been very ill and are thrilled, of course, their consciousness is removed from the illness, but their personality and their love is still intact. And then there are also some people that pass through and do not necessarily until possibly when it's time for us. This is what's so curious about the larger consciousness system. It's like, I'm not going to divulge what happens in the last part of the book, but I will tease the idea that my mother had to be dead 8 years for us to be able to heal in the most complete way. And I find that fascinating, because there is something about the charge that we hold here on this earth about needing to forgive. But there's also something about the other frequency that is now non-physical matter, reality, that still holds a charge too. And I'm still curious, and I'm in the process, an ongoing study of how and why that gets worked out and why it doesn't and what the repercussions are of that. Every day I'm working on it, you know? It's I'm going to share something with you. I have not told this story yet, but I recently had to have some medical tests. And one of the medical tests was not so pleasant. And I was discussing it with the doctor and the technician. And I was prepared. My body was getting prepared for this. It actually, the part where they had to biopsy started to light up and I could feel it. And it wanted its picture taken. But after the biopsy, which had also heightened my awareness and sensitivities, the doctor walked out and the technician asked me, you know, you talk about being so sensitive. What's your book about? Who are you? And I told her, and she was fascinated. And I said, and I often see things in people's bodies, and I usually don't go where I'm not invited. So I said to her, are you interested in what I see? And she said, yes. And I detailed stuff about her blood and stuff about pains and shortness of leg and eye problems and digestion issues. And she was helped, you know, she was helped by that. But I said, but your mom talks to you every day and your sister's here and your father's here. And that's when the floodgates opened. And I grabbed her hand when I said, your father really wants you to forgive him. I grabbed her hand and I said, wouldn't it be the most bizarre thing if I'm here for this biopsy for you? Because I know I'm fine. And that was basically it. I mean, there was a reason for the biopsy, but I knew I was fine. And this was it. I mean, I was in there sharing this information with her. And I find that I have to, you know, create even more boundaries. I'm talking to them about it going, hey guys, you know, do I really need to have a biopsy so that the technician can talk to her dead father and forgive him? Yeah.
And that's how it happens, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes. You sound like Tom. Well, that's how the LCS showed up today. Excuse me.
I know we've kind of touched on it, but I really like your analogy of the bruised apple.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a... Yeah, we're all bruised, right? Yeah. And when someone that is bruised and damaged comes into your life, it is to find compassion for that bruised, purple, sensitive, tender part for yourself.
it's a big piece, right? We all have our wounds, or we wouldn't be here on this planet at this time.
Right.
And sometimes we choose to assist others, like you just discussed. And sometimes, you know, we're pushed into it for other reasons that we may or may not understand or even thought that we wanted. But everything is always because we're here to grow.
Well, and trying not to beat ourselves up is a big deal. A couple of days ago, I went through a situation where I... excuse me, had to make a decision about letting someone that was in my life go. And I think the dynamic of that was I had been warned earlier about this, but it was my fear, and it was maybe my finances or whatever it was. I knew that the association there had merit in many ways, but it became intolerable inside my body to continue to dance around the communication that was not going well, right? So when we look at these things in our lives, whether it's relate, and sometimes when we're bound in relationship by a marriage contract, we really do have to take a look at this and say, well, how are we going to work it out? And face the enormous opportunity in the lesson, right? But we also have to pay attention to how these awarenesses are feeling in our bodies. And I really encourage all of the listeners to understand that this gut instinct isn't just in your gut. It's in your heart. It's in your brain. You know, when you have a neck pain, you know, it's your pain in the neck. When you, you know, when you can't speak, your voice is cut off because someone won't allow you to communicate. So you have to get bigger and move past that. So our bodies are receptors. I think one of the greatest videos that I think is out there is between Bruce Lipton and Tom Campbell. They are, I can't remember where they are, but they're out on someone's porch and they're talking about this very nature of the cells being receptors, et cetera. And it is one of the best videos. Have you seen that one, Lori? It's really quite wonderful.
I keep meaning to look it up and I think I've even highlighted it somewhere.
Well, here, I'm another highlight for you. But to think about the body and the cells and the receptor cells being so acute. And it's also the gift of fear. I talk about that in the book. Yes. Because I do go through some, you know, very frightening dynamics in the book. And it was a dead person who I didn't believe in talking to the dead that alerted me to this stalker who was a con artist. Right. That's how I started talking to dead people. It was because I was in a dangerous situation. I was a little tanked up on Percocet from having all four wisdom teeth removed. Right. And there had been a death in my life that I was mourning. And I was looking for some relief, some fun, and this, you know, hot little barista boy came around who happened to be a con artist.
Yeah.
So the larger consciousness system gave me a dead person. Really? That was great. That was amazing. And now I had to unravel all of that. I had to go seek help for that.
Right.
And it was, as you have read, it's Lynn Buchanan, it's the U.S. military psychic spies that helped me make sense. And this all goes back to Campbell again, you know, for educating them with the hemisync and developing that protocol at Monroe. But these women and men who took the psychic functioning and developed it into something that could be helpful for many different reasons is what helped me make sense out of all of this.
And it's, yeah, I mean, prior to that, you had an interesting coping mechanism that allowed you to dissociate from your body. And I imagine if you learned about it so young of age, I imagine it became kind of a go-to place. You had a lot of out of body, you know, leaving your body, watching from above type of experiences because of physical abuse as a child.
Yeah. Yeah, that disassociative ability really did service me. But sure. Interestingly enough, as an adult and doing the work I do, I don't enjoy popping out of my body. That's not my thing. I actually can bilocate with my consciousness. So that astral part of me doesn't need to pop out. I remember I was doing Robert Bruce's astral body travel.
Right.
And I was also, you know, doing a lot of interviews as a co-host on Dreamland, Whitley Strieber's Dreamland. And I loved Robert Bruce and I thought his course was amazing. But in practicing for me, my astral body popped out of my body and she was in front of me. And at the time, I was a redhead, a dark-haired redhead, and I really liked my dark hair. And I had been blonde for many years, but my astral body popped out and she was blonde. And I went, where'd you get that blonde hair? And she took off and ran down the hall. And I thought, I don't want my astral body to pop out and leave me. So I sort of like thought, I don't really need to do that. But the ability that we have in the natural remote, context of having thought processes and being able to send your brain just by a split second to a location to identify things is something that I think we all need to practice. I mean, mothers have this connection to their children. They can tap into their kids and know exactly what they're doing. You know, wives can do that with their husbands. And that's one of the reasons I think that my marriage ended. And there are, we have these abilities. So I think that those are the most unique things to start developing, where our minds can basically go anywhere and bring us information.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a distraction, but I can understand.
Well, you like to go inward. So yes. I get that. You like to go inward and get the information. And I think that there's great merit in that. And that really is the deeper work that, you know, at my age, I'm recognizing I can't escape anymore. Mm. You know, if I have a drink maybe once in a while, that alters me in a way that lasts a short amount of time, but, you know, it wreaks havoc on the physical system. So I don't have any other means except exercising, yoga, breathing to move a lot of the energy out. So going in and looking at the things as to why, just as you said before, why am I having to experience this now? Why is this happening? What is my responsibility here? And what do I need to do about it?
Those are definitely the questions to ask.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about, you know, needing help. We all need help. And whether that's, you know, I love that, you know, you went to your first psychiatrist and that didn't work out. So then you went to Sonia. It's like, well, yeah, that's awesome.
He had a speech impediment and I just couldn't get past it. It was just, you know, at that age, I was more critical and judgmental and I was frightened and I really wasn't ready to do the work.
So you went to a psychic.
Yes, I went to a psychic instead. Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, it's happened to me facilitating for other people, but I always have a group of people around me that I can recommend, or I certainly want people to get the best help that they can. So, you know, it's about building a resources team. And I'm trying to do that with the book website right now. I've just been so busy, but there are a number of people that I want to make sure that, at least in my area in Los Angeles, people can connect to if they need it.
Mm. Yeah. And then you did finally find someone, but you know, we're all here to help everyone. And some, you know, some things that you'll get, and you're right, like you can get them from TV, you can get them from reading books. I mean, you can get the information, but to really do the deeper work, you do sort of need to have someone to help you move that energy. And that's really, really important.
Well, you know, Lori, one of the key elements for me, having had the challenging mom that I had, was finding women that had character, that saw me in ways that my mother couldn't see me, and empower me in that way. And I think that that's crucial. We have to have teachers outside of our parental roles that give us, you know, that give us incredible, the gifts that we need.
Yeah. You certainly were connected to some of the, you know, certainly connected to people that assisted you in your specific gifts, like James von Praun. You also connect with Sai Baba, although not physically.
No. And, you know, that, and thanks for bringing that up. No one has mentioned that in any of the other interviews that I've done. And I think that that's curious too, because oftentimes when we're raised in a Judeo-Christian religious system, we get opinionated about other kinds of cultures. And I wasn't that opinionated, but when that came into my realm, when the essence of Sai Baba came in, and he was still living in India, once again, I had to pay attention. What is this about? And it was truly about connection and communication and right resonance and love and the power of prayer. As you know, I prayed for my nose to never look like my mother's. And within 12 hours, it didn't. Okay, listeners, you got to buy the book to find out what that's about. but in hearing from another love source or another companion to the divine that is incarnate, whether it's Gandhi or any of these people, these are teachers. And we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Anybody that comes into our realm, and if they make us uncomfortable, if they betray us, if they cheat on us, if they love us, if they're just there for the day, it can make a difference in our lives that apparently we need to integrate.
Absolutely. And of course, your greatest teacher was your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And yeah. It's those parts and understanding that, you know, I mean, all relationships are here to sort of assist us to grow. And anytime we can really see them in that light, I mean, that helps us not have that edge, that anxiety, but allows us to really give the space for those people that really are our teachers, and they are all over the place.
Yeah, they are. Everyone that comes in, I'm just amazed at it. There are people that come in and give you love, and all of a sudden something changes, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you have to stay married to them. That's okay that it changes. It's our idea that things should stay or be better. We have these expectations of relationships, and I think that that's where most people are disappointed. They keep expecting things, or expecting people to behave the way that we want them to behave. And it's okay that they don't. It's just, how do we navigate the disconnect, and how do we handle it inside of our bodies? Because many of us walk around disappointed, anxious, anything that triggers us from our childhood, you know, a boss that is mean to you. And that might be like one of your parents. That triggers us. And we have to look at that and go, wow, how can I work on this? Well, I have to learn to titrate this through my body. You know, there's a lot of trauma work and you know, that I did with facilitators that Peter Levine has taught. And there's so much that we can do with the body, whether it's a vibration, whether it's emotion, whether it's something that we say or do, just a physical adjustment of holding ourselves and swaddling ourselves can make a difference in our nervous system. And we have to learn, instead of punishing other people or making other people wrong, we have to learn this was here for us. We needed to learn this and take that as a blessing and not turn around and punish other people because of it. You know, we all get upset when relationships end or businesses end, but it's not about punishing the other person. That's just the cray-cray of high entropy. It's about, you know, how did we, just as you've said before, how do we get here, and how do I need to take responsibility and process this for myself?
The last piece, and I know we've already even touched on it, but you talk about, you know, the separation from love is the root of pain. When you have a specific childhood experience like yourself or like mine, I mean, it's, we keep looking for that family that we want to create. But knowing that love is always the answer, knowing that, you know, by putting up these walls and feeling that, you know, vulnerability is negative, like the more we put in front of our heart, the harder it is for us to really come back to me.
Say more about that.
I just think that we, you know, when we put up all of these walls that we have, every time something happens, when anything happens to us, you know, we separate out from the love that is data that is the larger consciousness system, that is the only essence that really exists, we keep shrinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that at least at my age, I keep that shrinkage to a minimum if I can, but I will be down for a day or two with reliving some of the trauma, but I've gotten savvy enough to ask for help. And that's just the point. You know, I've got great facilitators between healers and therapists and coaches to walk me through some of this dynamic. And I had a business transaction a couple weeks ago, and I have a man who is in my closest friends in another part of the country that I can call, and he can always connect the dots for me in ways that no one can. And as he did that, I was like, oh my God, this is so refreshing. It's like somebody, you know, I need a recipe for a drink or something that I need to, an elixir that I need to swallow to make me feel better. And it's just in the mental understanding of how dots were connected. And he showed me how people think in a certain way so that I could gain perspective on the way that he can think. I couldn't see it that way until he showed me that. And that was so helpful. And that's what I think we all do. I mean, I see things for people in a different way. I mean, that's sometimes why law enforcement brings me in. I'll just see stuff that they don't see in the way that they look at stuff. Right. And it's just to help them in their investigation. It's not to solve the problem or anything. Or sometimes I'm not a doctor, but when I'm sitting with someone, I will see something or feel something that is off in the resonance of the physical system. Well, okay, I could be wrong, but the dynamic is your awareness took hold. This just happened 2 months ago. I was sitting with a woman, actually when I went to get her in the hallway in the waiting room. I hadn't seen her in like 13 years. And as soon as I saw her, I was told stroke. Now, the larger consciousness system works with me like that. I'm able to listen and I take note of this information. So I sat with her and I said, let's talk about your vascular system for a while. She goes, oh, well, I've just signed up for Lifeline screening and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, good. So you're aware of this. And she said, yes. And I said, well, let's get you in to see a regular doctor as soon as possible. Because I wasn't interested in alerting her in a way about, I think you're going to have a stroke. But we discussed it enough and we discussed the history in her family for it to be present. Because 5 days later, she was in the hospital with a stroke. Mm. So when it happened, she was ready to do something about it. Yeah. She had already been thinking about this and it was present for her. So we get information from lots of different, you know, people in their own learning experiences that can share information with us so that we don't go down a road that is going to be too traumatic for us, or at least we're able to bypass it for a certain amount of time to get the right or the proper help for it. And I think that that's why we all have different businesses. This is how you help me. This is how I help you. And it's amazing. It's just amazing.
It truly is. Well, Marla, this has been a beautiful show, connecting in with your...
My first book.
Yes.
The only book I have out there.
Which is coming out tomorrow. It's called An American Psychic, A Spiritual Journey from the Heartland to Hollywood, Heaven and Beyond. I recommend everybody getting it. It really can help you sort of put things into perspective and... assist you to sort of ask the questions that Marla went through to get where she is. And I honor that journey that you have taken. It's very, not always, not easy. It's a process that we go through, but it can be a challenging one, and you faced it with love and, sure, we had some fears, but you faced all of those fears, and I think that's what we're here to do. So thank you for sharing those stories with us, and you will find the help that we're all sort of seeking, and this is one of the ways to do it. So,
well, I appreciate this, Lori, and I also want to offer the listeners, there is a Gaia, the streaming on-demand programming like Netflix. Mm-hmm. It partnered with me to launch this book, so it's for consciousness. So Gaia is about consciousness streaming, and there is a, if you buy my book on Amazon within the next couple of days, because it is about the launch, you can go to American-psychic.com and redeem a free gift from Gaia, which is 2 free weeks of streaming. Nice. So you can watch all their programming, like 8,000 shows or whatever, and get a sense of what Gaia happens to be. And I think that that's another part for the community that is so wonderful. So I just wanted to share that. Not sure how long it's going to last. It is up for the, you know, for the launch of the book. So I hope your listeners will take advantage of that.
Perfect. All right. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with Marla Fries. And I hope to have you back someday, and we'll share some more stories like this. Thank you, Marla.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.